So Baby Brunch had to go and look for a famous father because we really wanted one who's on the biggest commercial radio station in the morning. He's got so many business interests. He's got like gold stuck onto him. He's got gold on his fingers, on his ears. Is that a gold chain that
you
wear?
Yes, it is. It is. It's a custom made.
How come you don't have gold in your teeth?
I'm still trying to fix my teeth. You know, this year's the year of fixing myself.
This year's the year of fixing yourself. Mm. You know what? When it comes to the amazing fathers that we see in every husband that we have, there's very little fixing that needs.
That's true. Because we never get time to actually spend time with ourselves and work on ourselves. All the money we make is for the wife and the kids. Yeah.
This week on Baby Brunch, we've got DJ Sabby. But first, a big thanks to our support.
Curaprox aims to create 1 billion healthy smiles. A healthy mouth means a healthy body and mind, creating better health for you. Great oral health starts from day one. It's never too early to start. Curaprox Baby gets your child on the right path of starting healthy oral care habits for life. This podcast is supported by Epimax Baby and Junior. The range of Epimax Baby and Junior Gentle All-Purpose Emollient Moisturizers is an all-day, everyday favorite for babies and children. Give your child a good start to every day by nourishing and protecting their skin with Epimax.
DJ Sabby, Sabelo Mtsali, he's a renowned South African artist known for his contributions in the entertainment industry. He's a DJ, he's a father of two, he's a radio presenter, voiceover artist, he's got many side hustles, and he's a content creator. And without knowing, he's a really big giant, and he's also really funny. You're really funny.
Thank you.
Yeah. He began his career many years ago in radio production, and he's really worked hard to where he is today. Do you love your job?
I love my job.
So for people that don't know what you do, what do you do?
I'm a solution maker in a sense of your joy and your peace. I'm like your happy place. I'm like a fantasy world. With me, it's bright. It's beautiful.
He's on the radio.
Yeah.
And it's probably, this is serious. It's the biggest show in South Africa.
Isn't that crazy?
It's the biggest show in South Africa. And the reason I'm proud of you is because, you know, a lot of the time we are in a position where people find us admirable or successful, right? But they don't understand how you actually got there. So first of all, well done on having the biggest show in South Africa.
Thank you.
And then secondly, was the journey easy? Were you always confident that you would land something amazing like that?
Firstly, so cool to meet you. Like, it's Ilana Africa, Brendan Gump. Okay, back to your question. It's never been easy. But I always say I've had a very organic growth in the sense that everything I had to learn to get where I am has kind of built my mindset to be able to be present in this moment and understand what I need to do next. Started at the age of 14, narrow casting. That's the lower level than community radio. Then you move to the next tier, which is community radio. Then you go to commercial, and you know, you try and stay for as long as you can. You know, we got 12 months contracts in this business. Mm-hmm. For as long as you have the flavor and relevance, and you know, you can offer whatever station you work for some form of success, and they'll keep you for the next 12 months. And that just requires you to always be on your toes. And I think I'm doing very well.
I think you are.
Yeah.
Would you do it again? Was it worth it?
I would. Mm. I would do it all over again. There's peace. You know, I wake up every single morning. I look forward to go to work, despite that I have to wake up very early.
Yeah.
I love what I do. Days are never the same. You play the one song today, it still sounds different the next day. Outside of the music, the people. You know, the people look forward to hearing me on the radio. I look forward to hearing their stories because we all have a different story to share every single day because today was different than yesterday. You know, so I look forward to it. I love what I do, Ilana.
So what you don't know is before we started this recording for Baby Brunch, Sabby called his wife. Mm. And I thought that was so beautiful. Yeah. What did you want to say?
I call my wife. We talk so much. You think we started dating yesterday. We got married last week. 13 years together. Before she goes on air, for some weird reason, we always talk. I just feel like I bring her zen before she goes behind the microphone. Aside that, I just love hearing my wife's voice. You know, it kind of like soothes me. That's one person I know's got my best interests. But I think I'm very vocal about being a dad. You know, when I had my first son at 27, we did a Mamas and Papas cover. And it was just a learning moment on how many men out there generally don't have other men to look up to. You know, the amount of stories I got from dudes who just kind of voiced out how they were truly feeling, and they come to you like you have the answers. I'm like, bro, I just arrived. It's my first kid. I'm also going to figure it out because I lost my dad at 10. So let me figure it out. And once I've figured it out, then probably I'll have something to share. So every now and then I share what I can.
So every now and then you share what you can, even though you haven't completed this journey. But on this journey of fatherhood, while people are looking to you, what do you think you bring? What answers are daddies looking for? Like, what do they come to you for?
Number one, what's expected out of me? I get that quite a lot. Bro, I don't know what's expected out of me. I'm like, it's not the money one at the end.
But how come yours is working?
I'm there. I genuinely feel like being there is the best thing I could have done. Because that's all I wish I had for my dad. So sometimes I father from that point of view. Is that what would I have enjoyed doing with my dad? Then I do those things with my son. Sometimes I feel like I spoil him because I pour so much into offering me and stuff to make his childhood way better than mine. I never want my son to look at me and tell me, hey, dad, did you do this? Everything he tells me, have I done? I'll probably say no. He never pushed tires. He never pushed rocks and said that was an M4. He never sat somewhere next to a train station and pointed a car and said, I want to do that. You know, he's got neighbors that are that side and that side. My neighbors were very close to one another. I could smell what you're cooking next door because I grew up from the township. So my offering and the way I'm raising my children, it's very protected. And I think now that I have a baby daughter, like I'm very clingy with how much I share of them. I think the first 5 years when I had my son, I used to post him so much. But with this technology and everything happening out there, I just don't want to take away his moment of being a kid. Because I was never a teenager. I was just always worried about tomorrow and working and making ends meet, helping mom pay the bills. She had a stroke when I was 14. So much I had to do.
Are you enjoying being a dad now, even though you had to be grown up from such a young age? Like, I mean, you just said about you didn't have so much of your childhood. Mm. Even though it sounds really difficult and hard, and we've all got our own different heart about what it looked like, right? Do you enjoy being a dad, or do you sometimes wish that you could still be that little boy and have your daddy?
There's parts of me when I achieve milestones, I'm always like, I wonder what my dad would have said, you know?
He would have been proud of you.
I hope so. When he died, I used to say, he would ask me what I want to do. And I always say I wanted to be a scientist because Dexter made it look cool on TV.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I want to be a scientist, you know? And he'd be so happy and he would tell me, oh, I can go to Dembélé and study being a laboratory assistant. Then I turned 9. Oh, physics is just maths. And, you know, it wasn't my thing. So when he passed away, I feel like he passed away with the notion that I would have been a scientist. But deep down, I think by the time I was 9 and a half, I had an idea that music might be something I want to explore. But I think as a father, I'm not doing bad at all. I think I'm not doing bad at all. I try. I think the greatest compliment is my son always saying that I'm the best dad ever, even though he says that when he wants something. But it works. It works all the time.
You are a scientist. You're a scientist of music. And
that's beautiful, Ilan. I've never
You're a scientist of you know what, to create a miracle, to create our children, right?
Yeah.
There's more than just love, and it doesn't happen quickly for a lot of people on this platform. So I think you're making your dad proud with the science stuff. And I look at how you do your things, you know, you make honest money.
Thank you.
And if you had to ask me, like you, I know that you don't always have the words to tell daddies when they come to you for advice. But I can say this because I have an honest father, and that made me an honest woman.
Mm.
And what happened after that was I married an honest man, because we are shaped by our environment and we hang out with people that are like-minded, and we want things to be good.
When people look at us, they genuinely feel like we've figured it all out. And we fail behind the scenes. There's times where you honestly have to miss out on certain moments because you got to handle work. But you try and bring the balance. So you said that, it's like, no, I'm not doing bad at all.
I want to know about your mom quickly. When you spend time with your mommy, what stands out for you about her?
My mom is late also. Lost my mom about 4 years ago.
I'm sorry.
This is an ode to my parents.
That's the tattoo?
This is an ode to my parents. If I could capture time, this is what I would definitely do. Pause there a little bit. As my mom's name was Smundu, as my dad for Smoozy. So this is an ode to my parents. And over here, this is my son. This is my daughter. Mortality. And then I got a loop here. We never look back. We just consistently go forward. But going back to this, my mom is probably the best thing that God gave me on this earth before I found my partner. That was someone who told me what it is, who supported my vision, supported my wildest of dreams, made time for me, was present in my lows and my highs, and knew that one day I'll be who I am. I think my mom believed in me first, and I believed in myself sometimes, that I would be the guy that I am today. And for me, that was the biggest thing ever, just to know that when I say it, no one's going to say, "We are lying." Mm. She's actually going to say, "Okay, so what can we do?" It was always a matter of, what can we do? Where can we go? How can we try and make it work? I might not have much, but what can we do? And for me, that kind of like built my mindset in knowing that it's always good to try. And even when you fail, you try again, because now you're starting from a place of experience. And it's one of the teachings my mom taught me, is that in God's time, it's the best time. And that kind of like shaped the kind of person I am. It's rare that you hear me saying I'm giving up. Mm-mm. I will knock until we can't. I can't. It's just not in me. Even on my team, they know it's like, Savvy Management said no. I said no. I'm like, okay, cool. We just keep trying. We keep trying. You can't give up because people said no. You know, it's just not right now. To tell me why you said no today, and I'm going to try again next week and another time. And eventually, you'll say yes.
If a young dad had to come to you now in 2025, right? What's the one thing that you guys need? What do you need? Because we started this conversation and you said you wish you had time. And I know you were joking about it. But if there's something that us as women or us as children could give you, what would it be?
No judgment. We're trying. We're trying. We go out there in the world and we take so much. The bashings. The one thing we want to come back home to is not being judged. That it was not enough. We're going to different spaces and we take so much. The one thing you don't want to hear is that you're not good enough when you're home. Sometimes it's not by choice. It's just that things are not aligning. So it's always good to have support. I think for every man, the one place you don't want to feel at war is at home.
At home.
It's at home. Home should be a place of peace. I understand. I said I'm going to fix that door. But sometimes you should be able to read the room that I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I've taken so much from that world. I'll fix the cupboard. I'll fix that. But it's just that sometimes mentally I'm not there as yet. Hence they say, don't nag your man to fix something. He'll fix it in 3 weeks or 2 weeks or one day. Just
you had me until you Amen. You had me until
but support us, man.
So there's two things. Before you, I had another interview and we were talking about the values of the home, right? The author was explaining it as love gems. You can call it values, you can call it the foundation, you can call it what you want, but it's those things that you know you and your partner have and will keep doing that, which is, you just said, at peace. Isn't it amazing to just have a peaceful home? Like, I mean, I go from 0 to 100 quite quickly. So you'll either find me peaceful or you'll find me like really vocal or quite excited or joyful, you know. It's kind of like roller coaster prayer. You know, like but peace is such a beautiful description of what you want as a guy. So we can do that, I think, as women. And as children, we can show up like that for you and every other guy that's
even
out there.
Even we forget to buy stuff.
Oh, Sebi.
I know you sent me a text, but I'm sorry.
Yeah. Don't get me started.
Let me not throw you off yet.
No, it's true. I'm learning. And then especially about the time. You know that I had to learn recently. I mean, I've been in relationship for a very long time. And I have a father that's 81. So I've had a man in my life for a very long time, which is wonderful. And I feel really blessed and lucky. I had to learn recently that 3 days for a man is not a long enough turnaround time for you to lose your cool.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I needed something from my husband. It required a document, and it required a little bit of homework and admin. Mm. Not much. Mm. But after 3 days, I was like, but it's in your diary, you know? And I actually got advice on it. And the advice was, 3 days is not enough to lose your cool about something when you've asked something from a man.
It's not. It's actually 3 weeks is like not even a, that's like a day, right? Is that a day, brother? So yeah, I think that's a day. That's why I said 3 weeks. I'll fix the cupboard.
The toilet.
If we can still work around it, it shouldn't be that much of a problem until the water starts seeping out. Then, you are right. Or until it starts inconveniencing me. Oh, so then I understand what you're going through.
Oh.
Yeah.
So when it's just bothering me, then it's fine. But the minute it starts bothering you.
Now I understand.
Now you understand the frustration.
That is like 10 days later, and that is 3, 6, 9. That is 4 days.
Okay. At least now I know how to speed up the process, you know, until it irks you. It's like a green pool. Do you have a pool at home?
I do.
What do you feel when your pool turns green?
I feel like the man is not present. And I was actually telling my wife the other day, because the rain has just been messing up with my pool. And I'm like, to the wife, I feel like when the pool looks green, people look at the house like there's no man in this house. So I got the pool to look blue again. So it's blue again. But now no one can swim. The water's cold.
Do you swim?
I learned that how to swim when I turned 30 was a present to myself.
You are now 35.
35, can you believe
it? DJ Sabby's been swimming for 4 years. What is it like?
It's so nice.
Is it freeing?
I feel like I should do all the holidays I've done properly.
Who taught you how to swim?
So my first teacher, I forgot his name.
Why did you have more than one?
Because, this one got me into a PCCSA complaint. He's deaf. So the sounds that he would make to teach me how to swim, then I shared my experience on the radio.
Okay, that got me into trouble. Yeah, it would get you into trouble here as well, you know?
But the intention was to share my learnings, but it wasn't to make it any didn't. Joke out of it. Okay. But that didn't go well.
So let's go to the second teacher.
Second teacher, there was a lady in Bryanston. She's Irish, I think. She was teaching my son. Then I just loved how she was communicating with him.
Okay.
Interacting with him. I was like, can you also offer me classes?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And then were there more teachers? No.
No.
Okay.
No.
So the Irish teacher taught you how to swim?
Yes.
You can now swim?
You can invite me to a pool party and I'll swim.
Okay.
Yes.
Like those music videos where everyone's outside and there's Braaiflace and okay.
My feet are not the only one that swim. I also go inside.
Is there anything else that you have in recent times learned how to do as a parent because you didn't have an opportunity as a child? I'll give you an example. Mm. So I do this thing where I vicariously live through my children. Like my kids honestly think that I can do anything.
Yeah.
When they were younger, I would make jokes like this. You know, when I was in the Olympics, and they would believe that I was in the Olympics. I even told one of these holidays where we all dress up, and I said, when I was a witch, and the one honestly... So, okay, I was not a witch and it was a joke. Okay, now they know it was a joke. But my aunt, so I live vicariously through my kids. So when they started horse riding, I was on a horse. I can ride today. When they are playing with, you know, when you go to a reptile park, things that we didn't have as children, there was no way my father would have taken us to a reptile park to play with snakes and crocodiles. So I would say to them, no, I used to be a snake charmer.
Yeah.
So I would hold a snake terrified out of my mind. And I would live through them. And because I am willing to do it, they would be willing to do it. What other gifts have you given yourself in recent years where as a child you didn't have the opportunity and now as a grown-up you're experiencing it for the first time?
Number one is having my room and my space.
Wow.
I never had that. Like this is how I grew up. Mom said, go to your room. You just fall next to the bed. What else? All the codes of sports my son plays, I was never exposed to in my
home. Like what?
He plays hockey. He does hockey. What else does he do? I'm so proud of him. He did rugby for 2 weeks.
That's a long time.
That's a long time. I did it for 1 day. All those dudes on top of me, I'm like, I'm done. I'm out of here. I'm not going to take all this pain. So he does a lot. Chess, I did chess. So, you know, I'm just waiting for him to get it right and then we'll start playing together. But I think there's some experiences I live through him. As I said, I just don't want us to have any similarities. There shouldn't be any parallel experiences. So sometimes I learn through his experiences. My son is such a nerd in a sense of information and what's happening in the world. And sometimes I take that from him. You tell me, Dad, do you know what the hotline number in India for emergency? I'm like, what number? 911? He's like, no, it's 112.
Oh.
I didn't know that, you know? And I always share that because sometimes I feel like as parents, we don't listen to our kids. You know, we always feel like we're right. You know, it's just let your kids tell you stuff and let your kids be right. Let them have the glory.
Mm.
One thing I don't make it easy for him is things like running. I always become number one because I want him to know that life is not going to be easy on you. Sometimes you just got to work a little bit faster because not everyone is going to be gentle and easy.
They're not all going to let you win.
No, not everyone's going to let you win. So sometimes I let him experiencing failure because not everyone's going to be
leading. Because it's safe with you there, right?
It is. It is. But now I'm teaching myself that I need to do the very same thing to my daughter because I feel like I'm going to let her win with everything.
But that's hard because she's your daughter.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm.
I'm slowly conditioning myself to not give in to what everyone's been telling me is that my daughter has me around her finger. I'm like, she's only 10 months. What you mean?
I want to tell you something. We have 3 daughters between my husband and I.
Oof.
And do you know that even if I'm driving the car and their father is not in the car, they say, Daddy? And I respond to the word Daddy.
Wow.
Because they think he's the one driving or he's around. And now you'll have the mom at school that goes, it's because you work so much, Alana. You're never around. That's not true. I'm not going to let them try and have that truth because it's not true.
Mm.
It's just because daughters love their fathers. And I'm so glad that you are present as a dad. I've had my dad all my life. Thank God. I'm so grateful. I'm in my 40s and my dad's 81. And he's still my best friend. We speak every day. Today, we spoke twice a day. It's not even midday yet. Like, I love my father. So don't be too hard on yourself about teaching, you know. I think the world is so hectic, you know. I don't mean to give advice, but I feel like...
No, do share.
No, I feel like you are so close and I want you to be safe and to be sure and to just know that we all got you, man.
For someone who's never had a father figure in their household, the one biggest gem or diamond you embrace from your dad, what would you say is? What would you say that is?
My dad taught me that you don't cry when you need to do maths, which means just because something is hard, it doesn't have to be overwhelming. You can have both feelings. You can do hard things and you can feel overwhelmed. It's okay. That's why I smile at struggles. At a problem, it's not going to overwhelm me. I'm scared of nothing. My dad taught me that at age 60, you can still start a new hobby.
Yes. He's right there.
My dad started ballroom dancing when he was 60. He's 81 now, and now he's a ballroom dancing instructor at his retirement village. Okay.
I love that.
My dad taught me, don't spend money that you don't have. Till this day, through the grace of God, I have never spent money that I don't have. I don't have debt. I don't have debt because of a father in my household. So you just do you. There's a reason your daddy had to leave when he did. And it's okay.
That's powerful.
Do you remember what happened when your dad passed? Like what stood out for you in that time? I'm sorry you lost your dad. What stood out for you in that time? Because there's people listening to this podcast who grew up without a daddy in their lives.
On Drum Magazine, there's this question that they used to write every time they used to interview celebrities. They used to say, when was the first time you cried like an adult? And I remember when I was 9, got a call saying that, hey, your dad is in hospital. It was during the holidays. I left. We went to go see him. He was at Gwaqeza. And the condition I saw him in, like, this is a giant. This man has just always been a giant. He's just always been very tall, always good looking. But when I walked in and I saw him, I was like, how? And I think that's when it hit me that life can turn around and put you in that state. Because it was the first time I see someone in a frail state like that in hospital. I've never been to a hospital. So to have a first time experience and to see my dad in that condition. In the car on the way to the hospital, I had written a message for my dad in my hand. But out of shock, when my aunt said, "Nango babako," I was like, they're pointing at the wrong body. And she started feeding him amasi. It was, he loved, you take brown bread, you know, and then you put amasi. And he enjoyed that. But it was just a struggle for him to chew that and just to take that down. And I think mentally I started just collapsing and just started accepting that I don't think he's going to make it out. So I remember when I saw him, it was, for me, it was a goodbye, but with the hopes that he will come out of hospital. And a few months later, it was a few weeks, I got a call. I was playing outside. Then I was told that my dad has passed on. And as much as I was anticipating that call, because I think growing up, you anticipate the worst. So that was the worst. So when it happened, I was crying for the fact that I lost my dad. I started questioning God. Everything just did not make sense. Hated hospitals. To this day, when I'm sick, don't take me to the hospital because I feel like I'm not going to come out. I've shared this even on the radio, is that maybe it's trauma. Even when I had my accidents, I've had two accidents. One accident, I was at the door at MediClinic in Sandton. And I was in pain. But I turned. I was like, nope, going back home. Because mentally, I thought, I'm going to die. I'm not going to come out of that place because of the trauma of what I seen from my dad. So that needs its own healing. But I'll probably die in my bed. I'm not going to die in the hospital.
You're not dying.
No, I'm just saying, touch wood. But like, that was, those are my memories of my dad.
How does anyone that has experienced that kind of trauma, right? And I'm asking you in your personal capacity and for people who's listening. So how do you move from that to where you are now with memories? And there's heartache, but there's peace.
I think losing my mom brought me closer to accepting life for what it throws your way, not questioning God and believing that things truly do happen for a reason. And just because certain things happen doesn't mean God doesn't love you. I remember at some point, I was a mess, man, after losing my mom. And then my wife told me something that I always share, which was very sore at the time, but it had to be said. If you do not believe in something at this very moment, you'll never come out of this hole. So you need to make up your mind. Are you believing in God? Are you believing in ancestors? Where is your faith situated? And for anyone who's going through that pain right now, it's just a matter of you understanding that it was going to happen. It's just that it happened at a time where you least expected, and that's life. And it's a hard pill to swallow, but this too shall pass, you know. My mom said it, but she never told me that it will make sense in her passing. But everything happens in God's time. And it might not be in your time because you have plans. I want to do this with my dad. I want to build this kind of house with my mom.
Should have, could have.
But if God's time says it's tomorrow, it's tomorrow. Your plans are great, but God's plans serve a different purpose. And it only makes sense in time. But death is just a painful experience because you never find healing. A friend of mine once told me, which means that I could be chilling with you, having a good time, and then randomly I start crying. It happened so many times. I'm at the mall, happy with my family. Then I smell my mom's perfume. Then I'm walking around the shop looking for this. Then I bump into a person. I'm like, oh, it's not my mom. You know, and you start crying. Your mood changes completely. You have those moments. But with time, we heal. And we try every day. But with time, we heal. We try every day. And yeah, it be like that sometimes. That's when we use humor to master pain.
What do you spend your money on?
Watches. I love watches. Love watches. This is a Tissot piece I just recently got right now for my 35th birthday. It's like an everyday piece.
How much?
This one was 15.
You spent all that money to tell the time.
It's. I think time should feel expensive. Time should feel expensive. If there's one thing that money can't buy, is time. But if you can look at the time and tell yourself that time is expensive, then you take time seriously.
How do you know that you have a good life?
I look forward to every day. I still don't feel like, oh, my job is terrible. You know, sometimes I sit and I listen to people complain about their jobs and I feel like, okay, cool. Should I also start complaining? But I'm a believer in what you say becomes the house you live in. So I just never say things like, I hate my job, because I'll be lying to myself. I love everything I do. I make time for everything I do. I think now also I'm in a position where I get to choose what I can do. You know, like sometimes a brief comes, I'm like, oh, I don't want to do that. It's because you've worked so hard to get to a certain point. It's like, for me to give so much time and energy into something, be somewhere, miss time with my family and kids.
It has to be worth it.
It has to be worth it. I'm not going to leave my house for while I'm questioning. Like, there's something that I always say to my mates is that if I get into an accident, was it worth it? If the answer is no, I'm not going.
Sebi, that's like so extreme.
Yes.
But thank you.
That's the truth. I'm not going to leave my house when I'm so comfortable with my son and my wife and my daughter's cry.
Because if he gets into an accident.
Because. Go did I a favor.
No, I hear you. Why did you come to Parent and Baby Brunch? Why did you come and spend your valuable time here with us today?
Number one, I wanted to meet you. I think you're so iconic. Number one, that's honestly the truth. Your husband knows it.
That's not true.
No, ask.
You did not come here for me.
I swear. I was like, oh, even when I told my wife, first you followed me on Instagram. Then I had to act like, okay, cool. Let me wait for an hour before I follow
you
back.
Are you following me?
I followed you back an hour later because I didn't want it to be like
so. Oh, like instant.
Yeah, I was like, oh, gosh. And I told my wife, like, yo, bro. You follow my wife first.
I do.
And then my wife was like, oh, Ilana followed me. I was like, oh, man. And yeah, I never get to talk so much about my kids. So I was like, oh, she wants to talk about my kids. Let's talk about my kids.
It's important, I think, to make space, to make room for the men in our lives. And that's why I wanted you here.
Thank you.
It's one thing for me to say it, but I'm not a man. And so it's a real honor to have you here. I didn't know you'd share so much about your personal life and your dad. And I want to thank you for bringing that to the studio, because you give South Africans hope. You give our fathers hope. You make it seem like no matter what situation you are in, that it's possible. And I want to thank you for your time today.
Thank you. Mm. Thank you. You're iconic. I just want to tell you that you're iconic. Thank you. It's Ilana Africa. Ilana Africa interviewed me, ladies and gentlemen.
DJ Sebi came to my studio, ladies and gentlemen.
Can cut the camera.
This podcast was supported by Epimax Baby and Junior. Epimax Baby and Junior is dermatologist approved, free of artificial colorants and fragrances, and is safe to use from birth. Touch, nourish, love your child's skin with Epimax Baby and Junior. Available from leading pharmacies and retail stores. Curaprox aims to create 1 billion healthy smiles. A healthy mouth means a healthy body and mind, creating better health for you. Great oral health starts from day one. It's never too early to start. Curaprox Baby gets your child on the right path of starting healthy oral care habits for life.